that we find in 2 Peter 2, verse 6, had better not be a life model or pattern or example that I am living. When Elin Harris died, he was living the life. See, I'm trying to help you with the destination thing, Christian. I'm trying to help you pastors out there that's going to try to do like the bad Bishop Brown did when he did that football player's funeral. Talking about put your stones down. I'll put your rocks down. I ain't got no rocks. I don't need no rock. Tell the Rock of Ages to set his rock down. I dare you to tell him to set his down, because he going to chunk it at you. And when he chunks it at you, you're not going to escape that eternal destination. Oh, put that one in your hashish pipe and take a long drag on it. You know what? Wait a minute. Let me keep going. This model of this pattern. See, God sent an unmistakable message to all future generations that wickedness results in judgment. That's what 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 is all about. Turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Why did he do that? Because they were practicing the sin of homosexuality. It was not some stupid sin of not being hospitable. How dare you? God wouldn't burn up some cities because people are not hospitable. Quiet is kept when most people come to your house. You're not hospitable unless you like what they're giving out. So this was an example of future generations that wickedness will be judged. Now, when you look at verses 7 and 8 of the same chapter, it says, and what else did God do? He delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Remember I told you that when things happen to you and you're a young person, you can be oppressed by the spirit of filthy conduct. My uncle that molested me was oppressing my innocent spirit with filthy conduct of wickedness. Now, this is long before I became a Christian. And that influence in my life influenced me in a very adamant way. Because you see, as a human being, you never forget. You never forget those things. And it happens to all human beings. It happens to a human being that is an adulterer. An adulterer, that is abnormal behavior. For you to make a vow to your wife and then to go out there and to betray that love for that woman and to go out and lie with another woman. And the same thing that a lot of these women are doing. My man isn't satisfying me. He isn't as large as I think he need to be in certain areas. Oh, I'm just being real. He isn't fulfilling me the way he, and I got to go out there and get my, no. You know what I'm talking about? No. That's not a life of holiness. You're going to suffer eternity for those choices in your life. That's why I said that if you're a Christian and you need to hear this kind of message from a Christian, we usually hear stuff like this from the radical Muslims and things like that, because even, man, if a Muslim's wife goes out and has an affair on him, they'd chop her head off, man. They're so outraged at that. And our Christian wives can go out and just do anything they want to do. And what we're doing is we'll be paying the first wife support for the rest of her days. Lost our ever-loving minds. So don't use that thing, well, if it happened to you young and you're like that. No, because the Bible tells me that I can't be like that. God makes it unmistakable. He said that Lot was oppressed with the filthy conduct of the wicked. That's what Elin Harris was. That's what John E. Coleman was. Now, when they both die, God is going to judge both Elin Harris and John E. Coleman and you, the listener of this tape, based upon how you were living when you died. You have to go to Revelation chapter 22, verse 11, and read that verse. I've gone over it so often. You know what it means. As you is, so you will be. And here again, for those of you naysayers that think that Elin had an opportunity to repent, No, he was talking with his agent of some sort over the phone after he had gone to the doctor, after he had collapsed the first time. The doctor couldn't find nothing wrong with it. He didn't say, we got to keep you in here to check out your heart for heart disease. No. Sent him back to the hotel room. His agent talked with him. Next thing you know, couldn't nobody reach him, and he's laying on the floor dead. That's how quick you'll die. Now, you know what? I don't know what he died of, but I do know this. The Bible says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. That's why you think I got up to make this webcast today when I just learned about this man's death. I'm making this webcast because God would want me to forewarn many of you out there. As you live, so you die. There is a judgment after you die. And all this talk, I've already been on YouTube today and got all these homosexuals talking about rest in peace. I'm going to see you in heaven. And you wrote some of the greatest books that I've ever. It is embarrassing, the stuff that this man wrote. It is embarrassing for this man to talk about it. That would be like me reading a Playboy or a Penthouse magazine with women in it. It's embarrassing the way some of these people are living their lives, flaunting their filthy, sexual, disgusting, depraved minds out on the airways like that. And for people like CNN newscasters and other people to say this was a great man. This was truly a worldly man. Jesus put it this way, woe unto you when the world speaks well of you. See, I want God to say to me, well done, my faithful servant. I don't want to write a book. I don't want to be famous. I don't want to be noteworthy. Oh, I got the picture of him on the website sitting in his house in Atlanta. Isn't that a beautiful chair? That chair costs a lot of money. Look at that. You can tell the way that thing was. Man, he had nice stuff, nice furniture, money. Man, he's a man, a great writer of this era. Most prevalent black male homosexual writer. I mean, you read the book and get sexually stimulated, wanting to be in one of the positions. I've read his stuff, and what he does is the book is written with the nature to go after the perversions of your sexual behavior, just like any porno book. I'm telling you, my friends, we need to come to it. If there's no life of holiness. Now, why did God have to deliver Lot in the first place? Because there was spiritual weakness in Lot. When you go to Genesis chapter 19, verse 6, you can see that. See, and that's what's the matter with people like that. So it says, so Lot went out to them through the doorway and shut the door behind him. You see, Lot wanted to go out there and speak to the people of the city instead of letting God's angels deal with it. No, he should have let the angels go out and whack them all in one swoop. But see, he was made weak by the immorality that was around him. His heart was in Sodom. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 16, it says, and while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand and the wife's hand and the hands of the two daughters, and the Lord was merciful to him, and they brought them out and set them outside the city. Why, after the angels told Lot and his whole family to get out of Sodom, why didn't he leave immediately? He was lingering around it. That's the way I linger around certain sins from time to time. I want to spend a little bit more time there. I want to see how this thing is going to turn out. We can't linger about that. God was gracious and had the angels grab his and his family's hand and pull them out of it. I'm telling you, we need to pull our families out of some mess that this world has us in today. My friends, Lot didn't hate the sins of his culture. Because if he did, he would have done exactly like those angels told him to do. And you saw what happened to his wife at the end. when the angels told him, don't look back. She looked back because she was into the mess herself. The whole family was into freakdom. And that's the way it is in the American families today. That's why when I got a picture of a dead man right next to me there, I'm in my habitat, speaking at the microphone with an open Bible, the Word of God, doing what I'm doing. He's in his habitat, enjoying the money that he has. He died far too young, I think. At 54, that's young, because I'm 65. Man, that man was born in 1955, at the height of the movement when you could become anything. And you know what they tell me? Tell me that he was a professor of African American studies in college. He's in there teaching college students. I wonder what he was teaching them about gaiety. Bet he had a lot of them in his class. I teach in my philosophy class. They asked me about it, and I said, hey, take ethics with me, and we'll discuss homosexuality in ethics. And I give both of the reasons pro and the reasons con. Most of the students, when they leave my classroom, have a con, not a pro, for homosexuality, though they don't care. They said, we don't care the way they live. Right. Until your son comes home and tells you that his lover just... into oblivion. Wonder how you're going to handle that. All my friends, in both illustrations, in Genesis 19, as well as in this text in 2 Peter chapter 2, God rendered wholesale judgment on all living people. Once he did it on the whole earth. But Peter pointed out that God's people were rescued. Okay, see, God's people were rescued. You can see that when you look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. It says, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah. One out of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. This is why I'm talking to you Christians. Don't be sympathetic about a homosexual man that was writing books of perverted sexual behavior to seduce our young future generations for years. As far as I'm concerned, that was the judgment of God to take that man's life out. There, I said it. See, I just don't know God's will, but I believe that was the judgment of God to take him off the planet. To try to protect what young children we have left. Because, friends, we don't have, and this man was a leading proponent of this kind of stuff. Needless to say, your president and put a freak in the Department of Education there in Washington, D.C. And this man, of course, he was for Obama. Men like that. Good looking guy, right? Just devilish, man. Just devilish. And I think you got to sell your soul to Satan to write something like that. And there's a lot of articles that you can go to on websites to read about prison rape and who's doing it. And my goodness, I went to a recent article that was just published and put up on the World Wide Web and saying that how blacks are raping white prisoners at a tremendous rate, and it is just, I mean, gang rapes 6 and 7 people deep, and how the prison authorities won't talk about it. Nobody would talk about it. Then when they get out of prison and have normative sexual relationships with their wives, they infect them with the HIV virus. Friends, you couldn't ask the devil to do a better job. But I just thought that I'd put that up there. Make this little webcast so that you can understand that you can, well, you know, they were born that way. No, I was born a heterosexual person. While I was maturing and coming up, something abnormal happened to me. It doesn't happen to everybody, but something abnormal happened to me. I had to give God my mind, and so that he could bring the normalcy back to my mind. Oh, wait a minute. Let me take this a step further. Some of you guys that don't have these tendencies to be a freak and stuff like that, you have normal tendencies, right? And that's why you're divorcing your wives, going out there getting you another wife, huh? Right? That's why you look up excuses why you're not supposed to have normative sexual relationships with your wife, because you're looking, you know what? I can give you some vivid illustrations of some so-called Christian men that tried that, and you don't want to be where they are today. Trust me, you don't want to be where they are. I think you better read what the scripture says on taking vows. I like it. I believe it's in the book of Deuteronomy. And it says, don't make a vow that you don't intend to keep. He says, it's best for you never to make the vow than to make it and then not end up fulfilling it. This is what I want to leave with you. As you read these articles and as you see more people dying and all this stuff, I just want you to go have dinner and say, well, there it is. Thank God. Now we have less of this garbage on the airways. I think this man, Elin Harris, finished one more book. They'll probably try to pull it out, and it'll be a $1 million seller too, because they want to read this man's filth. It is the filthiest stuff, and your children are being allowed to read this stuff in school and do book reports on it. That's why your children's minds are so warped, because, you know, Elin now is supposed to be the authority on that. Well, here's my question as I end up this webcast. And you about know where the question's going. You know where it's going. All right. Just let me be playing with it, okay? Can I be real with you? I want to be real with this. And I want to ask the question in spirit and in truth. Okay. Check it out. Here it comes. You ready? He was in Los Angeles in a Beverly Hills hotel Thursday night when he died. Do you think that Elin Harris, if he had an opportunity, would have wanted to speak with me on that Thursday afternoon about his lifestyle and thoroughly change from it if he knew that he'd be dead that Thursday night? See, don't argue. Don't get mad with me. I want you to think about yourself. Those of you that's going to hear this and get your jaws tight. If I could be the gray-haired preacher sitting in front of you saying, hey, man, I hear you. I know what you're feeling. Yeah. Turn from that right now and come to Christ. Renounce that lifestyle. And tomorrow morning, make up your mind to call your agents, television people, the CNN people, the radio people, and tell them all that you renounce the homosexual lifestyle and its evils, that you renounce the evil that caused you to write all of those books that just perpetrated a lifestyle of debauchery and freakdom. Renounce it, Elin Harris, and you would be able to live the rest of your life glorifying God. Here's the question. Would he do it? I think you know the answer to that. No. He wouldn't do that. Now, he has an eternity, because this is what the Bible teaches, an eternity to deal with his rejection of God's will. You see, sin is the lack of conformity to the revealed standard of God and the refusal of the creature to be related to God by faith. Elin Harris, by that negation, will spend an eternity in hell. Now, you can go buy the book all you want to. As a matter of fact, ask me for mine. I'll let you read it. Transform it, take my will.
Transform it, take my will.